been debating a little bit whether to try to go ahead and get in the pulpit, because I did last Sunday at Happy Creek, made the effort and got in the pulpit, and about the end of it, I could tell I'd been there, and I know I've got another time that I'm going to stand today at Happy Creek this evening, the Lord willing, so this is a mighty comfortable seat and seems to be okay. Could be a little wide. I wouldn't hurt anything there, but y'all just continue to pray for me that I won't get distracted with the physical limitations that I might be dealing with, and just be able to focus on the Word together and give the Lord the praise. Can everybody hear me okay?
Okay.
I'm going to try not to strain my voice, but y'all know how that goes with me. Probably won't last very long, but we pray that the Lord will just supply what we need. Sure appreciate that sweet prayer, Brother Terry, and thank God for you, and thank God for blessing you with the words that He gave you this morning to ask the Lord's blessing on the meeting. Got a passage of Scripture that's on my mind, and again, pray for me as we look at it together. It's found in the writing of the Psalms, and if you have your Bibles, it's not Psalm 23, but it's close to it, Psalm 25, and I love the Psalms.
You'll get to 23.
Yeah, we'll get to 23, but Psalm 25 is on my mind this morning. It's a psalm, like Psalm 23, it is a psalm of David, and there are 22 verses. I'm going to go ahead and read them in your hearing. Just pray for me as we look together at this portion of God's Word. As I read these, I want you to notice, as we're reading the passage to you, that the David is speaking to the Lord almost in a prayer. He's praying to the Lord in part of the psalm. And then if you notice, he'll change in parts of it and then stop speaking to the Lord in a prayer and start talking to the Lord's people. I remember many years ago, and I've shared this several times, Brother Danny Parker was preaching, and he pointed out the fact that throughout the Psalms, and if you notice this when you're reading the Psalms, you'll see it quite often, pointed out the fact that the Lord blessed David and blessed others to write the Psalms, that you'll find oftentimes their prayers, and that the writer is speaking directly to the Lord in the form of a prayer. And then he'll switch in the middle of the psalm and start talking to the Lord's people. And then he'll switch back and start talking to the Lord. Brother Danny pointed out the fact that when you talk to the Lord a lot, you can't help but want to talk about the Lord. The more you talk to the Lord in prayer, the more you want to talk about the Lord. And then he said, the more you talk about the Lord, the more you're going to want to talk to the Lord. So both activities are wonderful. Being able to talk to the Lord, as Brother Terry has done for us, as he voiced our prayer to God this morning, ought to cause us to want to talk more about the Lord. And then the more we talk about the Lord, the more we ought to want to talk to the Lord. So those things run hand in hand. It's very important for God's little children, if we want to be happy, we want to find joy and peace and rest in this world, if we want to be about our Father's business in serving the Lord, we need to spend our time in prayer talking to the Lord. And then when that happens, we'll find ourselves talking in our lives. As we go through our lives, we'll find ourselves, that's what we want to talk about. We lose the desire to talk about all the other stuff in this world. We just want to talk about the Lord, and because of His goodness and His mercy to us. And this prayer, certainly as we read it in your hearing, you can see
the truth sounds good.
You can see the truth here in the Word and the truth of that. Psalm 25. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Shew me Thy paths, O Lord. teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright. Now, if you notice, there's a change. He's praying to the Lord. Up through verse 7, it's a petition unto the Lord, a sweet, humble prayer of a little child of God. But then he changes and starts speaking about the Lord in verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his testimony, keep his covenant and his testimonies. Then we come to verse 11. He starts speaking to the Lord again. He says, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Then he comes back. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Then he turns and closes out with prayer. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. So we have David's prayer here. And he's praying to the Lord out of his troubles. He's praying to the Lord and he's praying in thanksgiving. But he's praying in a time where he is deeply troubled. Isn't it good to know that we have a pattern given to us in the Word of God? And this isn't just written down by happenstance. This is God inspired. The Holy Spirit moved David to pen this down. So the normal prayers that we pray, many of them would have imperfections in them. Many of them would not be model prayers. And I'm thankful for the sweet prayer that was offered this morning. But as we know in our efforts to pray, and we've heard others pray, there are times that we might hear those prayers, and occasionally we can make a mistake in those prayers. We can pray amiss. And we know that. He says, you have not because you have not asked. And sometimes we have not because we've asked amiss. Sometimes we pray for things that we shouldn't pray for. Now, how can we know what we ought to pray for and what we ought to not pray for? How can we know how to approach God? How can we understand what to ask for when we're in the midst of troubles? And it's good to know that God's little children can be on track and yet still be in the midst of troubles, still be in the midst of problems and concerns. As a matter of fact, God's little children, as long as we're in this world, we're going to have troubles. He tells us over in 2 Timothy that if any man will live godly in Christ Jesus, he shall suffer persecution. Over in the writings of Job in chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, man that is born of woman, that's all of us, is a few days, that means you don't live very long, and it's full of trouble. So we sometimes wonder why we have trouble, why we're going through trouble. Well, the fact of the matter is, when sin entered into this world, trouble came upon all of us. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we'll have distresses and problems and troubles in the course of our lives, sometimes because of the sin that we've committed in our life. Some of the sin and the suffering that David went through He had a son that rose up against him in rebellion against him, Absalom. And he was a son that David loved. Even at the death of Absalom, he cried, Oh Absalom, my son. But David's own son rebelled against him and turned the people of Israel against him. And David, we read about in the book of 2 Samuel, went through a time where it seemed like all the people that he'd even tried to do good for turned against him, and he had great trouble and distress, even David. But that was even brought on because of David's transgression, because the Lord had told David, because you have done this, there's going to be trouble among your family and among your house and in your life. And remember his sin with Bathsheba and his sin in murdering Uriah the Hittite and all that he had done wrong there. And they no doubt were things that plagued David. And he did some suffering. Now sometimes we say things like we pay for our sins down here, God's little children. We really don't pay for them, because to pay for them would require an eternity of torment. So we can't pay for them. But you suffer. If we sow to the flesh, is God's little children, we'll of the flesh reap corruption. And we're not going to get by with just living any old way, even as a little child of God. But thanks be to God, though we've sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the Bible tells us all of us is that way. And we're going to have troubles and tribulations and problems in this world. And I'm not going to give you any way today that you'll be able to get out of all your troubles. As a matter of fact, I'm going to assure you from the Word of God. It tells us over in the writings of John. Let's just read that verse before I misquote it and mess it up. Over in John chapter 16, I believe it is. And make sure I get there. John chapter 16 and verse 33, a verse y'all know so well. Jesus said this. He said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Now, how are we going to have peace in this world? He says right here, the only way for us to have peace is going to be in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Isn't it wonderful that we have a place, though, we can have peace?
Yeah.
When Job said, "A man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." And I'm sure if I ask you today, do you have any troubles? I could say you go ahead and start writing them down and list them. You probably got a list long as mine, maybe longer. And you know, sometimes if we all sat down, like I thought at one time, if we all sat down and wrote our list and started reading everybody's list, we'd probably pick up our own and go out the door after it was all done and find out our troubles maybe are not so bad as some others' troubles. I know I got a little spot on my knee that's been bothering me. I want it to heal up and go away. It's a little, my little granddaughter calls it a sore pot. You got a sore pot on your knee. I'll ask her every day how it's doing. She comes over and looks at it and looks at my knee and she says, I said, "Do you think it's better or worse?" She said, Pop, "I think it's worse." I said, "Why do you think it's worse?" She said, "Because it still has a sore pot." As a sore pot, and she'll point to that sore pot, the sore spot on my knee. And I thought how sometimes that's troubled me, and then I get a picture of a dear brother that I love so dearly going through so much, and I see what his leg looks like, and I think, wow, how foolish I've been to be so concerned about my situation. And then, you know, we all have our own situations, but even that brother could look around and see someone who maybe doesn't even have a leg or doesn't have anything and find someone else. We all have those troubles. David is not telling us here that we're not going to have troubles. As a matter of fact, he's telling us how to find the way of peace in the midst of our troubles. He says, "These things I have spoken unto you, the Lord says this, that in me you might have peace." Now get this, "In the world you shall have tribulation." The same Lord that said in him we're going to have peace told us in the world what you're going to have. Did he say maybe you wouldn't have it? No. Did he? It's a fact that in the world ye shall have tribulation. That means when you're going through troubles and problems, and you can be young today, it'll pass quickly. It doesn't take long if you say, "Well, I'm not having too much trouble." As we've said in the past, hang in there. It'll show up. And it's there. In the world you shall have tribulation. And as you grow on in life, it'll get more and worse. And, you know, say, well, boy, you're depressing today. No, because in him we'll have tribulation. And but be of good cheer, he says. In the world you'll have tribulation, but in him we have peace. He said, but be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ came that we might have life. And that is eternal life. That's life forever, to be with him in glory. That's what comes at the end of life when we die, leave this world. And I say the end of life is really not the end. It's the end of this life here in this world. But for God's little children who have eternal life, we live on and we live with him in glory. And that's complete and wonderful peace when we get to heaven. But until we get to heaven, we're not there yet. We're still on the way. We're still traveling along life's way. What is the promise of Scripture? You'll have tribulation, but you can be at peace. Why? Because we can have peace in him. Be of good cheer, because he's overcome the world. He came that we might have life and have it, not only have life, but have it more abundantly. And I believe today, of all the places you could be, or places just like this, there's no better place, either here or places like this, where God's people have met to worship and hear about the Word of God, talk about the Word of God, pray to the Lord, sing songs to honor and glorify the Lord. From time to time, meet and commune, break bread together over the communion table, remember the body of the Lord, remember the blood of the Lord, remember the picture of what Jesus did for us at the cross. To see baptizings where God's little children take up the cross and come home, and those ordinances given to the church. All of them testify to the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that secured our home in heaven that awaits us, and also gave us our church home, our church kingdom, our church fellowship here in this world that'll help you and me get through the tribulation that's sure to come in our lives. And we find peace as we pray and look unto the Lord. He says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. It says in chapter 25 of the Psalm, he says in verse 1, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Psalm 42 says, and let's just read that. Psalm 42 speaks of that. We sing a hymn that's taken directly from Psalm 42. As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirst my soul, O God, for thee. And I sometimes can quote the hymn and can't quote the psalm. The psalm's written just a little different. Psalm 42 verse 1 says, as the heart panteth after water brooks. Now this is heart, H-A-R-T. It's not the heart. It is the heart of the little child of God, H-E-A-R-T. But this heart is a deer. And just picture a little deer desiring a drink of water. A thirsty, weary, this is Psalm 42 and verse 1. Picture a weary little deer that's desiring water, that's thirsty and hungry out in a parched desert and has come to water. And think about how that little deer looks, how it cries, how it pleads for a drink of water. He says, and this is a picture given by inspiration of God, and I kind of missed that thought. The prayers that are written here in Psalm 25 are perfect prayers. So if we want to know how to pray, you know, we often say, Lord, teach me how to pray. And what's on track and what's off track? God's left us, he's given us the model prayer, that he taught us how to pray. But he also has given in the Psalms many model prayers that we, even though David's praying this prayer, and you say, well, that's from David, that's not perfect. No. It's David being led by the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that's when we pray right.
Yeah.
You know, when you and I pray right, when the Holy Spirit leads our prayer.
Right.
When old Gary gets in there, that's when I get wrong. When I get what I want in there, when I go with my will and my way, notice that what David talked about wasn't his way or his will or by his own strength, but it was what the Lord had given him. And here we have an inspiration. Isn't that wonderful? We have an by inspiration of God. God breathed it. God wrote it. As if the hand of God came down from heaven and penned it right here. You and I have a prayer that we can use, not just to mimic the words or or to speak the words. He tells us in another place that to avoid vain repetition.
Yeah.
But that from the heart we're taught what's good and right to pray for. And if David says it here in a prayer in the Word of God, you and I can repeat it in our own repairs and in our own prayers and know that we're on track. And he says, as the heart panteth after water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Now how hungry are you and I for God today? Are you like that little deer that's hungering for water that's been in a parched desert? I'm telling you, it's nothing like tribulations that have caused you to seek the God of heaven if the Lord awakens you.
Yeah.
Sometimes we wonder, why do I have to go through this trouble and through these trials? Well, sometimes we forget, don't we, how good the Lord's been to us. And the Lord, I'm not saying causes it, though he could. I'm not saying he brings it on you, though he could. I know he has in some cases. But it's the circumstances of life many times, and sin and the result of being in a sinful world, and just the fact you face a world that's full of sin, it's not a home for us. Do you feel like a stranger here below? If you do, that's an evidence you're a little child of God, and this world is not your home, and it's not here to help you on to God, but the God of heaven is here to help you through this whole world. And the tribulations that he allows us to go through, the troubles, you got to calm down a little bit. The troubles and the problems and the distresses bring us closer to the Lord. At least they should. What does he say in Romans 5? He says, tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And that's by the power of the Holy Spirit. So tribulations, we can glory in them. Now that's not easy to do. You know, we're saying, and I don't think it means you say, I'm thankful I have to go through this, or I'm glad I'm going through this. But it's to say, the Lord, I want to be reconciled to whatever he's suffering me to go through, that I know that it brings me closer to him. And Lord, cause these troubles. Church troubles can bring you closer to him. Family troubles can bring you closer to him. Personal trials and troubles can bring you closer to him. We need to be brought closer to him. He says, as thirst the heart for water brook, so thirst my soul for thee, O God. And David says in Psalm 25, in verse 1, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. David didn't go for a false god, a false idol. He didn't turn to the world. He didn't turn to get the answers from the world. He didn't go to the gods of the Gentiles. He didn't go to some other answer. He went to the Lord. The Lord who had called him, the Lord who had blessed him, the Lord who'd been with him over and over again. And I ask you, have you got a Lord who's been with you and blessed you over and over again? Has he supplied to you in the midst of the storms in the past things that you can't even describe now? But he's been so good to you, has he not? Well, where do we go when we get in trouble? Sometimes I go to Dr. Google and look it up online and see if I can get an answer. Usually don't get any help. Sometimes I just turn to the doctors of this world, and they are sometimes about as much help as Dr. Google. You know, they have their ideas and their thoughts, but sometimes they're wrong. It's good to go to the God of heaven who never is wrong, and he's the one that you can always trust in, and he's the one ultimately that we're to go to. Not that it's okay to go to others as he leads you and guides you. He'll guide you. Do y'all believe he'll guide you in the right way? I do. I believe if we just leave it in the Lord's hands, commit our way unto the Lord, he'll bring it to pass. And I believe that right now, and I say that very firmly right now, but Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief, because I have so much of that mixed with what I do. Psalm 25 is helping me. I hope it's helping you to believe and trust in him more, because he says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Now, he didn't just lift up his hand or his voice or his body. He didn't just show an outward show of it. When he talked about his soul, he's talking about his heart. He's talking about, I'm really here. He's not just showing up and saying, okay, I checked the box, I came to church today. No, I'm really here. I'm here to learn. I'm here to grow. I'm here to pray. I'm here to sing. Don't let me just go through the form of worship. Don't let me just go through the motions and go out the door and be no different because of it. May it change my life every time I go to the house of God to worship the Lord. May I learn a little more. May I draw closer to Him. May it be more meaningful to me as I go to work on Monday morning because I look to Him on Sunday and I feel that He's still with me on Monday and I need Him every day. If you notice here, David's under attack by the world. Sometimes he didn't understand why he's under attack. You ever have somebody that was against you? You didn't even know why he was against you. But he's rising up against you. And every time you turn around, it seems like they're against you. Now, he could be an enemy in the world. David had his own son rise up against him. Do you think David wouldn't think, why would Absalom act like that? I love Absalom. Why would he do that? And he didn't understand why. Never did really understand all about that. But he had peace, didn't he? And you know how he had peace? He knew I'm in the hands of God. It grieved him when Absalom died. It caused David to weep greatly. He wasn't happy about it. So David even thought about his enemies in the right way. Because the Bible tells us to do what? Hate our enemies? No. It says to love for them. Have love for your enemies. To pray for them that despitefully use you. That's easy to read. That's easy, you know, that's easy just to say, okay, I know he said to do that, to turn the other cheek. I know he taught me to do that, and I'm reading that. It's even easier for the preacher to preach from the pulpit that to the congregation on Sunday morning. It's another thing for the preacher to practice that throughout the rest of the day. And for us as believers just to say amen. But when we come to the Lord with our soul, we don't want to just be saying it. We want to be doing it. We don't want to be just hearers of the word, but we want to be doers of the word. We want to do what the Lord's told us to do. Now, do we have the power to do that? No. You know what we can do without the Lord? You know what you know this. John 15, read it. And I know you know it. The Lord's pleased when we bring forth much fruit.
Yeah.
The Lord's pleased with that. You know what that means? That means He's pleased when we act like He taught us to act. When we do what He's taught us to do. When we live in a way to honor Him. When we let our light shine in this world so that we look like a little child of God and act like a little child of God. When He taught us to love our enemies, He gave us the example that the sun comes up on both the just and the unjust. And that the rain falls on both the just and the unjust. And if we're going to be like our Father, and He's good to all, even those that don't deserve it, we're to be like Him. One thing that means is we can't look over the world and see who is a little child of God and who isn't. Y'all understand that sometimes God's little children don't act like His children. Sometimes God's little children that have been touched by the hand of God can act ornery and contrary. Sometimes they can be a Peter who says, Lord, I believe, and Lord, I know that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the next minute he can say, I never knew Him. I never knew Him. Why do you think that's recorded in the Word of God? Just to let us know how bad all Peter was. Why do we see Peter walking on the water and the next minute going down in the water? Why do you think that's left on record in the Word of God? Just to let us know about Peter and what he did? No, it's to let us know the capabilities that you and I have. And how, why it's so important that we're doing this. I may not get very far in this psalm. I hope as you read it, the psalm spoke to you because he's praying for forgiveness. And he's praying for God to be with him. And he's praying and crying out, really saying, God, I'm not going to make it if you're not with me. I need thee. I need thy forgiveness. And I don't need thee because I'm good and I got it right, Lord. I need thee because I've sinned and I've come short. And oh, how great is my sin. How great is my transgression. And I need thy forgiveness. And don't forgive me, Lord, based on what I've done. But because of what Jesus did for me. And because of his namesake. Because of what he did and accomplished at Calvary. And removing my sin debt, Lord, deal with me based on not what I deserve, but what he deserved. And know that when I'm talking to the Lord, I'm talking about the one who's promised to do everything. Here you see David asking for what the Lord already promised. Somebody would say, well, the Lord's promised to take you to heaven. Why do we say, Lord, please take me to heaven? If the Lord has promised every day everything that you need, why do we say, Lord, give me what I need, when he's already promised to give you what you need? If we say, Lord, don't forsake me, why do we ask that when the Lord has said unto us, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee? Is God pleased with us when we ask that? Well, of course he is. How do I know that? Because David asked for things that the Lord had already promised. He said in this prayer, and you can read it, he said, don't make me ashamed of my hope. Don't make me ashamed of believing. You know how many of God's children will ever be ashamed that they believed and trusted in the Lord? Zero. Because God will never let down one of his little children. What that means is ashamed. They won't be disappointed in what God supplies unto them when they're thinking about it in the spirit. They'll be at peace. They'll be at peace when their cancer is cured. They'll be at peace if it's not cured. They'll be at peace when the knee sounds okay. They'll be at peace when it rattles. They'll be at peace when it hurts. They'll be at peace when it doesn't hurt. They'll be at peace when their enemies rise up against them. They'll be at peace when their enemies are cast down. They'll be at peace with the will of God, because they know if I have the Lord, I've got everything that I need. It's really simple. It's simple to hear. It's simple for a little child of God. Isn't it wonderful as a little child of God to say, well, like a little baby can just, I'm going to trust in daddy and mama. I'm not worried about nothing else. Could be in the middle of a biggest storm. I remember as a child, my grandmother was just so special. Mama Ned, she was just special. And whenever I was real close to her, I knew everything was going to be all right. She'd fight a bear. You know, she'd do whatever. Anything coming at her, one of her babies, boy, it was going to have to take one of her little grandchildren. She was going to watch. That's the kind of grandma she was. She was going to watch over them. And as a little one, you know, I just was fine. No matter where we went, I was okay. Mama Ned was close by. You know, I was okay. It was going to be all right. Y'all got Mama Ned's. Y'all got some things, those that you remember in your life. But Mama Ned could not stay with us forever. And there came a time when Mama Ned needed help. Rather than being the helper, she needed help. Mamas and daddies fail. Fathers and mothers fail, even at their very best. They've been special to you, and they've really, really been there. But as time goes on, they'll fail. And it's hard to see that when your trust is in them. Our trust can be in them to a degree. But remember, if you've got a good mama, good mama Ned, good whatever, it was God who gave you that person. It was God who supplied that to you. It's God who's going to continue to watch over you. It's God who's never going to leave you, and he's never going to forsake you. It's God whom we can trust to in the midst of the storm. When my enemies rise up and I got something going on I can't control, I got a boss who's out to get me, I've got a problem, a co-worker that's just seems like they're going to do everything against me. It can happen in the church, even among good brethren, where jealousy can arise and animosity can arise. I've seen it over the years. And sometimes in an effort to solve that, brethren will get at one another. Boy, what an ugly mess that becomes when God's little children think, I've got to fight my battles. And then Peter wanted to do that too, didn't he? I'm going to pull that sword out. I'm going to cut off his head. You know what kind of soldier Peter was? Not too good. He could handle the nets. No doubt he was a fisher. But when it came down to be a swordsman, he wasn't very good, because he aimed at the man's head and cut off his ear. Oh, that's how good a soldier you and I are as far as warriors in this world. You know, God's little children are meant. Little lambs and sheep don't make the best soldiers. In a sense, and I'm talking about as they fight the battles in this world. You know, we think, well, I'll just take care of it. How many problems have you solved by you just taking care of? Well, we know that's case. What the case is there. I need the Lord, don't you? And I need him to help me. And here's the good news. He will help us. The Lord will be with us. We got the first verse. Got unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Oh, what a confession. Lord, may that be our confession this morning. I want to believe in him. I want to trust in him. That's a good prayer. Lord, I'm trusting in thee. And whatever's coming this week, Lord, I want to trust in thee. Let me, and there it is, personal. It becomes a personal prayer. Let me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's my God. But he says, Lord, let me not be ashamed. That means, let me not be disappointed that I trusted in thee. And I said it earlier. The Bible says it. No one that believes on him is going to be ashamed. Romans 10 tells us that those who trust in the Lord, those who believe in him, will not be ashamed. That means you will not be disappointed. You will not be let down. Let me confirm that to you today. Young, old, wherever you are in this world, when you turn it over into the Lord's hands and leave it to him, it's by his grace that you do it. It's because he's awakened you. But when you do that, he will never let you down. You will never be sorry you did that. But we can pray to him when we have doubts. And we can say, Lord, let me not be ashamed. What does that do for you? It gives you a confirmation in your heart. He says, let not mine enemies triumph over me. You believe that God can take care of your enemies without you lifting up the sword? Oh, absolutely. He took care of David's enemies. He took care of that situation with Absalom. Even though David had brought some of that on his own life and in his own problem. Just like Gary's brought a lot of this in my own self and you brought... We sometimes say, well, I brought it on. That's why we pray, Lord, please don't deal with me according to what I deserve, but deal with me according to your mercy and deal with me according to your grace. That's why he says, remember, O Lord, verse 6, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses. How long has God shown you tender mercies and loving kindness? He showed it to you before the foundation of the world. He showed it to you when he predestinated you to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He showed it to you when he gave you life. He showed you mercy and he showed you his grace when Jesus died on the cross, when he rose again, when he sits at the Father's side making intercession for you. He shows mercy to us this very day. As rough as it might be for you and me, what would it be if God would remove his mercy for one moment? Well, I don't want to think about it. That's why he says, remember. Though thy mercies which have been ever of old, remember not the sins of my youth. Do the sins of your youth bother you? First of all, we were born in sin. We were shaped in iniquity. We came forth from the womb speaking lies. Even if you feel like you're good enough right now, which you're not. And I know you're not. I don't need to really badger you with that. But I do want any of us to know anytime we start thinking I got it all together now. We've messed up. We need to remember the prayer of David. What a great blessing David was to God's people. But David messed up and he messed up bad. David isn't the only one who messed up. Gary messed up and he messed up bad. You can also put that in. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Psalm 51, you're very familiar with it. Read it. It talks about how he was shapen in iniquity. He came forth from the womb speaking lies. And how he begged God to forgive him for all his transgressions. He says, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Now there are those who just do things wrong without any reason. Sometimes we'll say, why are they doing that? You ever see somebody do something? You say, why would they do that? Why are they acting that way? And we think, well, how am I going to fix them? You're not going to fix them. God never said, I'm leaving it up to you to fix them. And sometimes we as God's little children act just as bad or worse than they do because we think we can fix them. No, we can't fix them. They're going to be there. But I'll tell you, there is one who can take care of them. He'll remove them. He can... And we're to do what about them? We're to pray for our enemies. We're to pray for those who He said to pray for them that despitefully use you. He said, do good unto them. And he says, as you do that, you act like your Father, which is in heaven. That means we don't do it because they deserve it. We do it because, does he not Does he not deserve our very best in worship and praise? Don't we have enough that we owe him, that we ought to try the very best we can to act better and talk better and behave more like his children? And let that be our motivation. That when we're dealing with one another, we remember this. How has the Lord dealt with me? How has he loved me? How has he forgiven me? How has his loving kindness been shown to me? I got one more thought and I'm going to close. Jack, hang in there with me, buddy. I know, I've been closing several times. You just hang in there, Jack. I appreciate you listening as much as you do and your patience with me, okay? All right. Verse 3. I'm going to read it. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Notice he didn't just say, let me not be ashamed. But he said, let all of God's children. I pray today for you. You pray for me. I pray that you'll wait on him. That you'll trust in him. That you'll turn more over to him. We're not going to get it all straight. The day we leave this world, we'll have more to fix than we'll ever get fixed. But may the Lord help us to do it a little better. And may we remember the words of David and what he told us. Let none that wait on thee. Let's wait on the Lord. Let's trust in him. Turn it over to the Lord. And I'm preaching more to me than I am anybody else here. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Lord, take care of that. I don't need to. It's in thy hands. Verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Do I know how to do any of this without the Lord? No. But in the Word of God, I got instruction. It'll teach us how. And he gives us the ability, so we can't make excuse. He gives us his Word. It shows us what to do. He tells us what to do. Then he leaves it, and let me say it this way. He will not do for you that which he required of you to do. In other words, he's given you the ability. He's given you the armor. He's given you the commandment. Put on the armor. Fight the good fight of faith. Take up your cross. Follow him. Trust in him. Turn it over to him. Lean upon him. Pray for one another. And he gives us the ability to do it. If we could do it on our own, we could say, Lord, I did it. Give me much coming to me. That ain't going to ever happen. First of all, we'll never do it on our own. Secondly, when we do what he's told us to do, we're still what? Unprofitable servants. We've done what's our duty. And we've only used what he's given us, so we can't take credit. Man wants to take credit. Our nature wants to take credit. We can't take credit. Even if we're blessed to preach, it's God who gives the increase if it does any good. If anything has been of any benefit, it's God who gives the increase. And didn't get nearly into that passage. It's just loaded. But I pray it's been of some benefit to you this morning. Again, if it has, give the Lord the praise. And I'm done now, Jack. So I appreciate your patience, brother.